Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, you know, makers, artists, filmmakers, designers, and coders who are on a mission of bringing ideas to life by creating new things and getting your work to work. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative life for some time, I hope you'll learn new things and challenge your assumptions about what is possible so you can become who you were born to be. Eric Thane is a filmmaker and online educator who believes the best investment you can make is in yourself. On his journey of becoming a more valuable filmmaker, he shares what he has learned from cinema hacking, mentorship, and delivering both high-quality client work and a thriving learning community. And that is, what you are really selling is value. You know, I've received Eric's email newsletter for a few years now, but it wasn't until I took his free webinar at cinemamastery.com that I really started to understand his approach to infusing everything he does with value. If you're a filmmaker who wants to learn how to create cinematic videos and attract high-paying clients without buying more gear or spending money you don't have, visit cinemamastery.com and click the free training button. Show notes and links to resources mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/287. You'll also find links to stream the show on all major podcast platforms and the opportunity to sign up for my email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Each week, I send out some deep thoughts on curiosity along with the things blowing my mind, as well as access to new things as I make them. I hope you enjoy this interview with Eric. I sure did. Eric, welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start with introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. So I guess where do you start? You know, I've been making videos ever since I was a little kid. And I remember running around with a camera with a friend of mine. In fact, I was living in South Africa at the time.
Oh, wow.
And we'd run around every day after school just shooting videos together and tried to do the best we could with the gear we had, which was basically nothing. And just, you know, we had a little camcorder with Hi-8 tapes.
Ooh,
and nice. We would just, you know, do what we could with that. And it was a lot of fun. But I didn't start doing video professionally until probably about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually got into the game through YouTube. So I was trying to be a musician. And I've always been the creative type and entrepreneurial as well, trying to start businesses around the things that I love to do, which were always creative. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, it was music where I was trying to kind of push a career as a musician and trying to build a YouTube channel as a musician. Did pretty well and had a few viral hits and all that stuff. But eventually it kind of got to the point where I wasn't really, I kind of got sick of this whole idea of just like working my butt off to get attention, you know? Yeah. Like to get views and likes and subscribers. And, you know, it just kind of got to that point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And really the reality was that in order to get those views and subscribers and likes, I felt like I had to create like the same type of work that everybody else was creating.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of work that I wanted to create, like I think every filmmaker has this internal desire to create beautiful art, right?
Yeah.
Like emotional storytelling. And like, that's what I wanted, just, you know, just like anybody else. But like, there was no way of like going viral and building a big YouTube following doing that. Right.
Right.
And really the reality is, and this is for a lot of filmmakers, is like, well, how do you balance doing that and getting paid really well? And so I'm like, I want to create art. I think that's my goal, but like, how am I going to get paid for it? Because it seems like it's like the cheesy corporate work that's always getting the jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of started on a process of trying to figure out how to get paid for doing creative work. And at the same time, you know, building up my portfolio and creating the type of work that I wanted to be creating internally. And then also getting paid to fulfill my external desires as well. Through that process, I found a mentor and I actually discovered a process that I called video hacking or cinema hacking. And really what it is, I started going and finding out, well, who are the filmmakers who are creating this type of work and are being really paid well for it? Because they exist. You know, there's those beautiful commercials out there for Apple or Nike or Coca-Cola. Like you see these things that are gorgeous. And you know that they're paying really top dollar for it. And I said, you know, there's got to be a way to do this. And started, so I started hacking the process. I started paying attention to what are these filmmakers doing? What are they like? What process are they going through to get those clients? And I started kind of modeling that and doing the same thing. And eventually I was able to kind of find a piece of that success myself. I'm not getting million-dollar clients, but like as a freelance videographer, as a small production company, you don't need million-dollar clients to be successful, right?
That's right.
And so, you know, we'll grab clients that pay us $10,000 to $20,000 or $30,000 for a video. And that's like more than enough to run a really nice six-figure business off of. So anyway, I kind of built up my business to doing six figures a year. And then through that process, I wasn't like famous or anything, but like I mean, my name was out there a little bit and had a few pieces of my work featured on various sites and places all over the place. And I was getting questions from people about cinematography. And I realized that, you know, I had a process that I should be sharing with people. And so about three and a half years ago, I started a program called Cinema Mastery. And I just started teaching those processes, teaching my system for getting clients, over delivering for them, making them love you to death and get referrals and build your business as a filmmaker. And so we've kind of been able to help a lot of these freelance videographers to get to the point where they're actually building a six-figure company, creating the type of work that they want to.
That's awesome. One of the things that you just said that just blew my mind just now was not only did you learn how to hack your favorite, you know, filmmakers in a sense, but you also had found a mentor. Did you find that both of those things were equally valuable?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know that I would be where I am today without having somebody who kind of guided me along the way. And I kind of wish that back then things were like they are now, where you can go online and you can find any number of people that will coach you or teach you, or there's YouTube content. Like there wasn't a lot of that back then. Like I feel like that was just kind of starting. And so, I mean, I would do things very differently now. Like if I were starting now, I would actively go out and find a mentor and somebody to teach me. But back then it was just kind of like, I was just doing work and meeting people and building my network. And the guy who actually gave me the tips and the ideas that fueled everything, he actually works as my producer now for almost shoot I do. He had worked producing for some really high-end work for some really amazing cinematographers, DPs, and directors. And so he'd done some of that. And so he had experience in that field and he knew what they were doing and kind of some of the things that they were doing behind the scenes with passion projects and building their portfolio and stuff that was getting them these high-end gigs. And he kind of shared a lot of that with me. And so that was kind of the catalyst that fueled everything going forward is those ideas that he planted in my brain, I guess, if you will. But I think that was huge for me, is just having somebody to kind of tell me what to do for sure.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there's so much advice out there, both good and bad. And so it sounds like it was just priceless to get the information that you actually needed that you could actually put into action.
Yeah. And like you said, there's a lot of stuff out there and you got to be careful, you know, especially if you're paying somebody, who you're giving your money to and you know, what direction you're going. But I found that, you know, if you look at anybody who's offering coaching or teaching, whatever, you got to ask yourself a few questions. Basically, you know, have they gotten the results that I want to get? Do they have proof of those results? Are there other people who are getting those results who are working with them? And then there's internal questions as far as like, you know, what's the price and can you afford it? And, and that kind of thing. But I think that, you know, when it comes to that, investing in yourself is just one of the biggest things that can help you on your journey. I know for me personally, paying mentors and coaches and for masterminds and trainings and stuff like that is by far in my business, my number one expense. So I've spent more in that category than anything else, including advertising and marketing. And we spent a lot on advertising and marketing, but like, I've spent more in that category. In fact, the amount that I've spent on that is just is kind of sickening sometimes because I look at it and I think of all the things that I could have spent with that, I could have gotten with that money. But when you really think about it, it's, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I imagine too that all of that internal work has resulted in a certain mindset that is desirable among people who don't have that mindset. And I just got to be honest, when I did the Cinema Mastery webinar, I was blown away because that mindset comes across, that desire to not only give people the tools they need, but I think to go above and beyond and to make people happy, even at the free level, I think speaks to what you provide for your paid clients as well.
Yeah, totally. Over delivering on value is a big, I mean, not even just as a filmmaker or even as an educator, you know, on webinars, like as an entrepreneur, which probably most of the people listening to this are entrepreneurs in some sense, running businesses, you know, every filmmaker is running a business, the business of themselves, if you will. As an entrepreneur, value is what you're selling. It doesn't matter what your product is or what kind of product you're selling, like what you're really selling is value. And so if you can give that value to your customers, they're going to pay you an amount of money that is equal to the value that you're giving them. In fact, I always like to say money is a receipt for the value you pay your client. So yeah, money is a receipt for the value you pay your client. It's all about giving them value, and they're going to pay you, they're going to return to you that value in the form of money. Right. And so if you can learn how to give value, then you'll be paid. And really, like, if you're able to give the amount of value and then charge as much as that value is worth, then like you'll run a nice little business. But if you really, really want to be successful, you got to learn how to give more value than what people are paying you.
Yeah.
That's where the sweet spot is, right? Is giving more value, over delivering for your clients. And so that's a theme throughout everything I do, I think, or I try to make it at least. Like even on the webinars, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I want to make this training. Like if you're going to spend an hour with me, I want to make sure that it's so valuable that you're getting more content here and learning more here than what you would get from somebody else that you're paying.
Yeah.
And then you can upgrade into like paid products if you want to, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't like webinars. I think most of them are poorly done, and yours is probably the only one that I still think about. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm just, I thoroughly want you to know how passionate I am about the quality of your webinar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, was it a challenge to go on that value journey? Because when we all start, we're in the mindset of sometimes time for money, or, you know, I got bills to pay, you know, so there's this real journey of that way of thinking to being able to think about how to over deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. It's harder at the beginning. And I think the sooner you can adopt this mindset, faster you're going to grow, because a lot of us start out in any career, you know, we're somewhat insecure. We're, like you said, you got the bills to pay. You can't do too much for your client. You can't spend too much time with them because you need to be paid for your time. You need to be able to do whatever and pay your bills and take care of yourself. And absolutely, that's the thing. But as long as you can adopt that mindset quick and figure out how to over deliver in a way that doesn't break the bank for you, that can be huge. In fact, here's an example. One really easy way for filmmakers to over deliver and just make your clients absolutely go crazy over you is just to give them some of their money back. And this is kind of a funny concept, but and we do this on pretty much every job that we do. Is we'll have a client paying us $20,000. And if I have a client that pays me $20,000 for a gig and I give them $100 back, they go crazy. They think like, wow, you're amazing. And they're referring you to all their friends and they love the experience and everything. And it's funny because I'm like, with the amount that you paid me, I didn't give you very much back, but they love it. I've got a student of mine who's doing this very effectively. He's actually doing wedding videos. And, you know, he'll charge $3,000 or $4,000 for a wedding video. And every time somebody books him, he sends them a physical package with a Starbucks gift card.
Wow.
And it's amazing the response that he gets. I mean, they're paying him $3,000 for a video and he's giving them like 10 or 20 bucks back and they just go nuts. They go bananas. Wow. Like it's the most amazing experience they've ever had working with anyone. So that's one tip there, you know, just something that we've done and something that I teach as well is to always over deliver for your clients, you know,
yeah,
set their expectations low and then deliver high and do more for them than what you tell them that you're going to. In fact, there are specific things that I do for every single client that I don't actually put in the pitch. in the offer. And I specifically have removed those things from the offer in order to overdeliver, yeah, right?
That's cool.
There's pieces of value that they're going to be getting that I already know that they're going to be getting, but they don't know yet. And it just creates a better experience for everybody.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I mean, why do you think that people respond that favorably to a $20 gift card?
I think that like they're just not expecting it. Mm. You know, you go to any store or anywhere where you're paying for things and you're used to this idea of you pay money and you get the thing, right?
Yeah.
You go to Old Navy and you pay $20 and you get a pair of shorts.
Right.
And like that is like commerce. That's how it works every single time over and over again. And so when you go to a store and you pay your $20 and you get a pair of shorts and you go up to the cash register and they say, actually, you know what? We're going to give you two pairs of shorts for the same amount of money. It's like your dollar went further and now you're just like in love with Old Navy, right?
Right.
Random store choice. I don't know. It could be anybody, right?
Insert any store name here.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's that everybody has a level of expectation as far as what they're getting for the price that they're paying. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother topic of discussion on its own. Right. But there's this expectation of how much I should pay for the value that I'm getting. And so mm-hmm. when you give somebody more value than what they paid for, it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Two things that I wrote down and continually look at from your webinar was different gets paid and design your portfolio to track the types of clients you want. And why do you think people don't follow this excellent advice and instead do the work they think people want?
Okay, so going back to, you know, I explained a little bit of how I got started. Mm-hmm. And when I was kind of leaving the YouTube world, I went into this world of, I want to figure out how to create the type of work that I want. Mm-hmm. I don't blame anybody for being that way. Like as filmmakers, we are artists. And artists just want to create, like we have that internal desire to just make work that makes us happy, mm-hmm. right? And so there's something really good about that. And I think it's a great thing. The problem is that I think a lot of artists go broke trying to do that. And because what you want to create isn't necessarily what the customer wants to buy. Mm-hmm. And any really experienced entrepreneur will tell you that the first part of going into the process of building a product is talking to the market and finding out what they want. Mm-hmm. So rather than saying, this is what I want to create, you're saying, what does the market want to buy? And whatever the market wants to buy, that's what you create. If you want to make money anyway, if you don't want to make money, then that's fine. You can go make whatever you want. But if you're trying to be an entrepreneur and you're trying to make money at this, you have to at least have that consideration as far as what does the market actually want and what are they willing to pay money for? The market votes with their wallet. Mm-hmm. So what they tell you they want might be different from what they pay for.
Yeah.
And what they pay for is actually what they really want. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So for me, it was a matter of, okay, well, I want to create this type of work. But I need to go out and find out like who are the types of clients that are paying for this type of work? Because I wanted to make money at this. I wanted, you know, really to advance as a filmmaker, you've got to be able to make money because it gets to be an expensive hobby, if you will.
Yes, it is.
Like I said, a lot of us start out kind of wanting to create the work that we want. But the better way to go about it is thinking about what does the client want to buy and how can I create that? And for me, it was really a matter of creating a hybrid between, okay, this is the style of work that I want to create. How can I go and find the people who are paying money for that and then tweak it just a little bit so that it's valuable for them?
Yeah, that's great. And I imagine too that as you found the hybrid, it was probably closer to you anyway than if you had started just with doing, you know, almost the, this is my vision and this is who I am, you know, but then you found the, what people were buying and then you merge that with your personality and with who you are. And then I imagine that it's pretty good then.
Yeah. And I think a lot of beginner filmmakers try to define what their style is far too early.
Ooh, good point.
And I was guilty of that just like anybody, you know, starting out, you know, you're a year into this. You don't have tons of experience shooting a lot of different types of things and you're already trying to lock into like, this is what I do and this is what my clients pay me for, you know?
Right.
And I think for people starting out, like it's eventually you want to get to that point. Like it's really good to specialize, mm-hmm. but you want to start out doing lots of different styles of work, because you might find out that you like something that you didn't realize you did.
Yeah.
For me, it was a process of figuring out not only what type of work I like to do, but figuring out a process for creating my work. And that process being, well, this is the type of camera that I shoot on, and these are the lenses that I use, and I use this rig, and all of those pieces, I've kind of systematized the process to remove as much resistance as possible so that my filmmaking process is smooth and flows and allows me to be creative with it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe getting a little bit deeper than we want to go, but a lot of those things have happened just because of that process. You know, I'm like, I'm shooting this type of video and it's easier for me to do it using this, you know, using an easy rig instead of a gimbal. And so my style is going to adopt the handheld look with an easy rig. You know, some of those things kind of came about that way. And you kind of make those decisions as you go and you figure out that process and your system. And that also feeds into your style of work.
Right. Well, and I imagine too that when you start talking about process and systems, you're instantly talking about a different game than just like, yeah, I kind of come up with the idea and then I, you know, maybe we'll have two shoots and, you know, I'll kind of just show up for a little bit and be real chill and find it. And then you're able to really talk about the value in the process as opposed to the value in just the end result.
Yeah, I think I'm probably different than a lot of, filmmakers, and definitely different from a lot who are starting out in that I look at my business as a product business and not a service business.
Nice.
To me, a service business is, okay, client, what do you want? Let me go create it for you. Whereas a product business is, hey, this is what I create and this is the value that it'll provide for you and this is how much it costs. Yeah. So basically it means that I'm not a contractor where the client comes in and they tell me what they want. And I stretch and do whatever I need to do to make sure I make that happen. I actually try to come in to my client's business as a consultant, as an expert, saying, this is what you need and this is how to do it. And in order for me to do this, I need this, this, and this from you.
Yeah. Whew, that's fantastic. Yes. So as you're building your client work and you're producing films and you're also creating high quality education online with Cinema Mastery, how do you kind of balance those two worlds and work and live in those two worlds?
Yeah, that's a good question, because as much as I guess in a way I was kind of sold the dream when it came to creating Cinema Mastery and creating an online course that, you know, they say like, just go create a course and put it out there and then you have passive income for life and it'll be amazing. And you know, like I probably in one way or another, part of me kind of fell into that at the beginning. You know, when I heard people talking about it, I was like, oh, this sounds kind of cool. Getting into it, it's nothing short of a very full-time job. And it definitely became that. And I feel like I'm lucky to have specific skill sets and talents that fit into that industry, the online education industry and internet marketing, and my background in computers and web development and design and education, all those things just kind of all blended together and it made sense for me. Otherwise, I'd be like a lot of people who just get burnt out, you know, trying to do this type of work. It really takes like a skill with the technical part of it, plus a desire to really help people. And for me, like seeing the results that our students get is just like the best thing in the world. Like, there's no better feeling than that. And like taking somebody from struggling in their business or, you know, whatever's going on and getting them to the point where they're actually thriving, doing what they love is just fantastic. And so what's happened over the years is that as I've dived more and more into this and it's become busier and busier and become more of a full-time job, definitely the amount of work that I'm doing for clients on the video side has slowed down for sure.
Yeah.
And so anymore, we're only doing probably 3 or 4 projects per year.
Wow.
But I actually like it like that.
That's cool.
And I would recommend that anybody try to get to that point. Try to get to the point where you're charging so much for your work that you can do 3 or 4 a year and still make a good income.
Yeah.
Not only does it free up your lifestyle to be more free and spend more time with your family and travel and do whatever you want to do, but it also allows you the creative space to make the best product for your client every single time.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a editing backlog a mile long. and I don't have clients calling me every single day, and I'm not doing three shoots a week anymore. Mm-hmm. When I'm working with a client, it's one-on-one, me and them. And they don't have to fight for my attention because they're the only client I'm working with at that moment.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but over time, I've obviously slowed down the video production side of things and been going, you know, all in on Cinema Mastery. And it's been amazing. It's just been an incredible process. But over the last few months, I've actually been taking the same principles that I've used to build Cinema Mastery mm-hmm. and to sell tons and tons of courses. I think we sold our courses to over 2,000 people at this point.
Oh, wow.
The same processes and the same internet marketing tactics and everything that I've used to do that. And I'm starting to adapt that to my video business and to get leads coming into my business on autopilot and learning how to like grow that business and make it thrive. And then obviously, because my time's split between two things, you know, I'm going to be automating a lot of processes over there as well and hiring people and doing that kind of thing. But it's amazing how I'm taking this growth engine that I've created with Cinema Mastery and applying that to my production agency and growing it that way. And then a little sneak peek to what's coming in the future. There's also, I've got some programs and courses that will be available to teach you as a filmmaker how to use the internet to your advantage and actually grow your business.
Nice. That's awesome. One of the things that's fascinating as you're talking, and I love that you mentioned that the desire to get to three clients a year or three projects a year. And I mean, that speaks to me on many levels because I think we get trapped in chasing so much that our work almost gets sloppy as we, not out of on purpose, but just because we're trying to do so many things. And I imagine that as you got to three projects a year, that your ability to intentionally level up looks a whole lot different now than when you're hustling and staying up late and, you know, mainlining Red Bull and all those things.
Mm-hmm. So what I always say is that there's only three ways to increase your income as a filmmaker. There's only three ways to make more money. One is to get more clients. Mm-hmm. Two is to get your clients to pay you more. Mm-hmm. And three is to get your clients to pay you more often. Mm-hmm. And those three things, most people start out at number one. You know, mm-hmm. we're like, hey, I just need to get more clients and more clients. And okay, I want to make more money this year, so I'm going to get more clients. In fact, I've known people who shoot, I knew a guy who shot 50 weddings in a year, which to me is like, oh my goodness, how can you do that? And it's just
a lot of weddings,
you know, and you know that most of those are concentrated in the summer. Yeah. So during the summer months, he's shooting like three weddings a week, which is just insane. And the editing backlog and just, wow. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And good for him. I mean, like, it's incredible. He's making a lot of money doing it, but it sounds like a lot of work to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of mass production as well. And so I remember talking to him and I was like, that's incredible. Like that you've been able to build your business to that point. That's amazing. What's your goal for next year? And he says, well, my goal next year is to get 75 weddings. Oh. And I go, wow. Okay. That's, I think you're a little crazy. You know, it's at that point when people tell me things like that, that I'm like, okay, it's time to raise your prices.
Yeah.
Like it was time to raise your prices a long time ago. It's only helping you to get more clients up until a certain point. Once you kind of hit that point of saturation where you've got clients and you're like staying busy with your work, mm-hmm. it's time for you to graduate to number two. And that is to get your clients to pay you more. And I think that is that transition from one to two is where a lot of filmmakers get stuck. Mm. They've figured out how to get clients. And so now they've got people paying them at low rates, but how do you keep that same volume up at a higher rate?
Yeah.
And that's where it gets more difficult, right? And so like, that's one of the things that we teach in the program is like, how do you raise those prices and still get, you know, the same amount of clients or maybe less, but you're still making more. Because if you double your prices, you can get half as many clients and make the same amount of money. That to me is a promotion. That's a raise, right?
Yeah.
You're doing half the work for the same amount of money. And so you got to be able to graduate to number two. And then once you've done that and you figured out how to charge high rates for your work, then the real money comes in from learning how to get your clients to pay you more often and getting them to not just hire you once for a one-off experience, but creating such an experience that they will want to come back over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. Awesome. So What struggles do you find yourself facing as you, sounds like, grow into the next phase of your business where you're applying the principles learned from Cinema Mastery to your video production work?
So the struggles that I think I'm facing right now are probably they're a little bit different than the struggles that I kind of teach. Mm-hmm. And I always look at myself as an educator as like, I'm not an expert at anything, right? Mm-hmm. I am not a Hollywood professional filmmaker. I am not like an amazing business person. Like I know what I know. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of people that are, if you will, behind me on the journey that mm-hmm. can learn from me, but I'm also growing and learning all the time. And so one of the struggles that I'm facing right now with my business is as we're growing, the workload is getting to be too much. And there's just no way that I can handle it on my own and continue growing at the same time. And so the immediate problem in my business or the immediate focus right now is creating systems and processes and hiring people. And that's a big part, both on the education side and the video side.
Yeah.
So we're looking for, you know, people that we can hire and put in key positions to help kind of, you know, offload certain parts of the process to people that can handle those. And that frees me up to kind of focus more on the strategy of the business. And it's interesting because it's turning into where it started out as a, you know, I was just a freelance videographer. And believe me, when I was doing freelance work, I never wanted to build a business and a team and have employees and everything. It was just, I was happy just kind of doing my own thing. And probably a lot of people listening to this will feel that same way. Like, it kind of sounds daunting and scary. And so it's like, I don't need that. I'm okay just kind of being here. But you'll find as you grow that it becomes less daunting as it becomes closer to where you're at. And you're able to start looking at, you know, you kind of do it slowly, one piece at a time. Like, okay, I need somebody to write these emails, or I need somebody to be my producer on set or be an assistant on set. And you kind of start finding those pieces rather than doing everything yourself. You find those pieces to kind of systematize and automate the process a little bit more so that you can grow faster. So that's probably the biggest thing that is like my focus on the business right now. Within Cinema Mastery and the ecosystem of Cinema Mastery products, I don't teach team building or business growth like that because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like when I get past this phase, like maybe I'll start teaching that, but I'm always just kind of like teaching everybody who's maybe one step behind me. And so we'll get past this phase, we'll start teaching that, and then I'll be on to the next thing. But in the meantime, you know, there's this kind of wake of videographers and filmmakers behind me that are stepping up the ladder with me, maybe just like run one rung behind.
Right. I really like that mental picture that you just painted is you're constantly pushing yourself forward and then teaching what you've learned behind. And so you have this kind of, if you are in the middle, you have energy going to the left and then energy going to the right. So left being, you know, you're growing, you're learning new things. And then the right, you're channeling what you've learned to the people that are following.
Yeah.
And I just think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool
equipment. I mean, that's such an excellent usage of energy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So when you are learning new things and you're, you know, head down, you know, consuming, and whether it's books, audio, video, how do you approach learning new things so that they don't take all of your time?
Well, that's a really good question because they can. And yeah. Information overload is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced it many times. In fact, I had a lot of people tell you that you should be reading all the time, and like the most successful people in the world are always have a book in their hands, mm-hmm. and you always need to be reading. And you know, like I kind of tried to fall into that and do what the successful people were doing, I guess. Yeah. And so just like always be reading. But I found that I was just, my mind was split between 20 different things because I'm learning one thing over here in this book, another thing over here in this book, or another thing in this online course, and another thing. Like there's so many different things. And I do buy a lot of books, and I love books for business development and self-development. Like there's just mm-hmm. a wealth of knowledge out there for yeah. very cheap. And there's a wealth of knowledge in books. So I do buy a lot of books. I also invest in online courses, and I've spent a lot of money on coaching programs. Learning is key. Like yeah. if you want to keep growing, you have to learn. You have to accept that what you know now is not what you need to know to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. For anybody, being successful at anything is not about doing more of the same thing that you're doing right now. And that's what a lot of people mistakenly believe, is that, okay, I've got this level of success doing this. I'm going to mm-hmm. do more of it to be more successful. But that's not how it works. It's a matter of, okay, now you've done that. You got to move on to the next thing. And there's always a next thing. And mm-hmm. so you're moving from thing to thing. The things that got you where you are today won't get you to the next level. You have to be learning all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's always a process of learning. And like I said, information overload is real. And so I've kind of figured that out and realized that I need to slow down on learning. And what I do is I kind of go through phases. And so I'll have like a learning phase and an implementation phase. So maybe for like 2 to 3 months, I'm just learning. And I focus my learning, so it's on a specific topic. You know, I've got this thing coming up in a few months and I need to be better at it. And so I'm learning, but focused learning on that thing. And then I spend 2 or 3 months just in implementation mode. And when I go into implementation mode, I will not let myself consume any kind of information. So I'm not reading books. I'm not going through courses. I'm not on coaching calls. I'm not like anything, because I'm focused on just implementing. And so for me, like, to balance the learning and the growth is all about balancing learning and implementation and making sure that both get their fair share.
Yeah. That's awesome. Man, that gave me chills. Yeah. Because, I mean, learning is great. We live in a society where learning is basically on tap. And yet implementation is always the problem. That's my problem. I think that's all of our problems. And I think it's great that you can really describe how it works for you and able to push yourself to implement those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Having an idea is one thing, but actually doing the thing is a totally different thing. I think that what most people don't realize is that most people are unsuccessful because of inaction. Mm-hmm. And like the information is out there for being successful or being wealthy or being a good filmmaker or whatever it is that you want to do. The information's there, but it's not the information that gets you there. Right. Yeah. And that's probably sounds kind of funny coming from a guy who sells information. but it's not that the information isn't valuable. Like, obviously it is, because action without the information won't get you anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
But information without the action also won't get you anywhere. Because you can take a lot of action in the wrong direction and not end up where you want to be.
Yeah.
And so both of those things are really important. And it's just a matter of like making the investment, getting the information, and then taking the action. So if anybody, you know, even like some of the stuff that I've been sharing on here today, you know, there's been specific things that you can do. And, you know, these types of strategies that I teach can get anybody to the level that they want to be in their filmmaking business. But like a lot of people will learn these things, or they'll get on a webinar, or they'll even sign up for the course, and you know, 6 months later, a year later, they haven't really done anything, and then nothing really happens, and then they're coming back to me and like, well, your course doesn't work. That doesn't really happen that often, but it can happen, right?
Yeah.
What they don't realize is that like you have to do it. Like doing it is what makes it happen, not just learning about it, right? Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, at any point in your life, you can look back over the last 6 months and, you know, take, you know, really good inventory of where you're at and look back and say, okay, well, did I do the work, or did I do what I knew I was supposed to do, or did I not?
Yeah. What a powerful question.
For sure. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. So you've talked about learning, you've talked about implementing. How do you force yourself to up your game and think bigger, think beyond where you're at? Because I think that's a challenge for a lot of people as well, where you set a goal, you reach the goal, and then you're like, well, now what?
Yeah. So the way I force myself to think bigger is I force myself to be around people who think bigger. Mm. And I think force is the right word. I'm glad you chose that word because it doesn't happen naturally.
No, it doesn't. It's very uncomfortable.
Just kinda let your life coast, you will end up around people that think either at your same level or lower than you. Mm. Naturally, we like to be around people that have lower ambitions than us, because it kind of like, it makes you feel better about yourself.
Right.
Right? We like naturally want to be around people that make us feel like we're amazing. Mm-hmm. Right. And really, like, if you want to grow, you got to be around people that make you feel inferior. because that's the only way you're going to be able to force yourself to have that bigger vision. And so, like I mentioned, I pay a lot of money to be in coaching programs and masterminds with people who are more successful than me. Yeah. And in fact, just this past weekend, I was in Phoenix, Arizona for 2 days at one of these events. And, you know, there's training and they're teaching and stuff. Like I said, like the information is good, but like what's really powerful and the best things that I got out of that event were the networking. It was just being around people who have been more successful than me, talking to them, asking them questions, getting to know them. And every time I go to one of these events, I probably go to 5 or 6 of them a year. Every time I go, I come back with a totally different vision of what my company, what my business is capable of. And again, like you said, it's forced, you know, you have to kind of force yourself to be in those rooms. It's not easy for me to travel away from my family that often. It's not easy for me to, it's a lot of money that I pay in order to be in those groups. And so like, there's definitely some forcing happening there, but I've found that if I'm not in a room like that with other successful entrepreneurs, at least once every other month, my business goes downhill. And there is a very clear correlation between those two things. Because I will go to one of these events, I'll come back and I'm on fire. And then it takes about 2 months, I've found on average, where by the end of 2 months later, I find myself starting to think small again. I find my business kind of slowing down. Things are not going as well. That's kind of happening. And then I know that, oh, I need to get in a room again with more of these people to kind of light that fire again.
Yeah. Wow. Woo. It's in line with something that I read in a book by Guy Kawasaki. He wrote kind of a collection of stories from his life. And he wrote, "Seek out and embrace people who challenge you. You will learn more from them than from the folks who hold you to lower standards."
Yeah, totally.
Awesome.
That's the truth.
Well, Eric, this has been a fabulous conversation. It has met all of my expectations and more. So you're living your brand.
Good.
And so the last question that I have for you is, what was the last book or podcast that just blew your mind?
Oh, man, there's so many good ones. I'm actually not a big podcast listener. I think I prefer reading over listening.
Yeah, me too.
I'll listen to your podcast because it's really good. But I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. But books, I am currently reading the biography of Elon Musk.
Okay, interesting.
Founder of Tesla, for anybody who doesn't know, Tesla and SpaceX. And he is a fascinating person and just an incredible. And this is a different read for me because most of my time spent reading is reading like business development books. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading stuff about marketing and about sales and customer support and, you know, like those kind of more tactical things. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit more like studying the personality of someone who's successful, which I haven't done a lot of in the past. And I've kind of been reluctant to because it sounded boring to me, but it has been far from boring. Just this book is very well written and really interesting paying attention to, you know, what is he like and what kind of habits does he have and what was his upbringing like and how did he get to where he is today? That's what I would say. That's the one I'm reading right now. And it's been really fascinating.
Awesome. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be taking a ton of notes on this and I hope other people will as well. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. This has been fun.
Don't forget to check out Eric's free training at cinemamastery.com. If you're a filmmaker who wants to learn how to create cinematic videos and attract high-paying clients without buying more camera gear, this is definitely for you. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.